Okay, this is Radio Edutalk. It's John Johnson, and today I have got with me Ian Stewart, my colleague at the Scottish Government. On Saturday, Ian and I were at the Pettigrew event, and Ian was leading a workshop on, what did you call it, Ian?
Learning spaces, but blending from offline to online.
Right, and I mean, I suspect some of this is to do with our job. And figuring out what people want from Go or want from online learning spaces without leading them down an alley particularly.
I did try and keep it as general and open. We kind of looked at three areas. Issues in terms of technology access, issues in terms of artificial barriers put in place by whoever, and then what do people actually want to do?
Right, so can we pick that into three? So the first one was issues with access to technology, and you were talking, the people were, it was in Glasgow, the people were from?
A range of places, from Dundee, and some from Borders, some primary, one nursery, and a few secondary, from a range of subject backgrounds.
So I would kind of expect that there'd be a range of access problems then?
Actually there were some common ones. Mainly artificially put in place with restrictions and filtering from a range of places. We'd also had David Gilmore, who is East Lothian's ICT man, so it was interesting getting his perspective on how he sees it for the others to hear.
Yeah, because I suspect David's background or his view is slightly different from many IT departments, for instance.
It's, I would say, counter to every IT department I know.
So what were the sort of three main blockers then to access to online services?
The three main blockers were lack of access to technology directly in the classroom, or if it was there, artificial barriers being put in place, like not being able to get the software on, or even simple things like it being broken and not being able to get it repaired easily and quickly, half the keys being missing from a keyboard, ball mice being missing because the technology is actually that old, it still has the balls still inside the mice, that kind of thing. Then start to think through what the issues actually were they wanted to do. So rather than just replicating what they already did in the classroom, how do they change and move it forward and getting those discussions going in schools?
Discussions between teachers?
Between colleagues within the school. So making sure there was one person there from an extremely large secondary school in Glasgow, without naming schools or names, but extremely large. He could think of no one in his school who is interested or wants to use any technology in a classroom. So that cultural thing of why you want to use it and how you use it.
And I mean, just did the first sort of problem is access to software and services. Do you think that and keys on your keyboard, do you think that leads to this situation where nobody's interested? Or
yes, I mean, we definitely talk chicken and egg, you know, the demand needs to be there before the impetus to get done, and the impetus to get done leads to the demand. It is definitely chicken and egg. That led on to a conversation about bring your own technology and devices.
And did you get a kind of feel for how that's going across the, whether people were actually started doing BYOD at the...
A couple of people admitted that they quietly closed doors and said to teachers, said to the class, bring out your phones, we'll start using these, instead of asking permission, because phones, mobile technology is banned within the school. So they've got policy issues around that as well.
Yeah. So that means that's okay for people that are willing to take risks, but it's not necessarily going to move everybody on.
No, I think it's the permissioning model that needs to be moved on.
So I'm kind of seeing this from what you're saying, there's two areas we need to get right. One is wholly based on the practitioner. They want to do things, they know how to do things perhaps, and the other is, do they have the right kit, do they have the right connections, and do they have permission to do things? So was there anybody that had any bright ideas about that?
They all had the desire, one, to connect with others around Scotland, which is part of the whole Pettigrew Teach Meet type scenario of learning how to use things and seeing how people are using them, And then the bring your own device aspect of things, we're encouraging pupils to actually come in, be prepared in one way, and that's with technology. Be that technology with a pen or a pencil, or that technology being a tablet or a phone with them.
Okay, if we think now, Ian, if in our imaginations at least, we could get over the hump of broken keys, access to the internet, people can bring in their mobile devices, and that really leaves us with the cultural aspects more.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you address those, or how did people feel?
People were not aware that right now every one of them and every one of their pupils has access to 25 gigabytes of personal online storage right now through Glow. That kind of took me aback a wee bit, I must admit. These are people who are committed, who want to do stuff, who are out investigating, and they didn't know.
So that's maybe something that unfortunately, the responsibility is starting to lie with us.
Yes.
To get this word out about Glow, about what people can do now. And did anybody have any ideas of how we could contact them, other than individually, but ways of spreading this?
I think they feel that there's a barrier of connectivity down from above, and it needs to be grown from the bottom. Information going out, not just to Education Scotland, but use of unions and information through them, because actually they listen to the union information, read the information from unions much closer than they do from information from Education Scotland, which I thought was an interesting point.
It's one I've never thought of, and I wonder if we've got a way to feed that information into the unions and they'd be willing to pass it on.
I think one of the unions definitely would be interested in passing that on. Connections to others, slightly more tenuous, but definitely there.
Right. So that's maybe a next step for us.
Yes, I think so.
And maybe we should be more full on in moving into different online spaces as well. I know we're fairly personally well connected with groups or sections of online teachers, but maybe we should be trying to broaden that as well, so that we get this movement up. Did you get to the point where you were asking people what did they actually want from an online space?
Yes, we had quite extensive discussion. The facility to have that forward-facing information out to the world or parents, or and being able to control that, is quite important. And use of media becomes really, really important, particularly when you start looking at the flipped classroom, which a lot of people were quite inspired by.
Yeah, it was a really good talk, I think, at Pedagoo, and we actually recently broadcast from Craig Ferguson, his work in Hamilton Grammar. I think Hamilton Grammar.
Yes, it is Hamilton Grammar. Yeah.
About flipped classroom in maths, and lots of people seem interested in that. And again, as you were saying earlier, that maybe the biggest problem to solve with that is where do you put your stuff? How do you host it? How do you send it out to pupils? And again, that maybe the responsibility for that is coming towards our course.
Absolutely. I mean, we had a discussion about what people wanted from the media, and the idea of not just being able to watch and embed, but also download to change and to edit for their purposes, was something that really, really sparked a lot of imagination. And I think that's a really powerful one.
And earlier we had a wee preamble to this recording about the sort of difference between, or maybe the similarities between, learning spaces that are online and learning spaces that are off. Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to blend the space so that learning happens any place, any time, anywhere, on any device. And I think that becomes really important. And the idea of flipping the classroom so that they're reading the chapter ahead, or watching the skills they need to learn for the next lesson, and then start to embed them, making time much more efficient, I think becomes really, really important. The facilities within school will always be lagging behind the rest of society, simply because of funding models and management problems. But teachers can get around those by having a blended space where it's a safe space. Pupils can work with whatever medium they need to. be it paper or blending all those together. And I think blending and flipping the classroom allows that space to break down the walls, or at least make the walls more transparent for others to actually work outside the classroom.
Yeah, that sounds good. Ian, was there just, this is probably the second last question I can think of, and then did you feel there was a good consensus across this group of people who were from all around Scotland about what we need?
In broad general terms, yes. Nursery in early years, lots of requests for places to record video that's safe and secure, that can be analysed later to reflect on the learning that's actually happening. And I think that's a really powerful one, so that they can actually say, there's a wee group dynamic going on in this work area, this play area, and they can share that easily with another professional, not necessarily broadcast it, just to share that privately and then discuss the learning that's going on there and identify the good things and things they can move on to. But I think that's something I hadn't really thought of, and I thought that was a really powerful idea, as well as the further up the school, access to lots of resources, small clips that can be downloaded, added to, put together, along with videos made by the teacher to build up a really interesting flow of work individual to that class and that teacher.
Brilliant. And my kind of last question is more general, because we spent a day at Pettigrew and then an hour or so in the pub afterwards. And what have you anything general to say about the event?
I was speaking to Mark Priestley and we were talking about what do we need to do to get move out this. We have lots of conversations, and it's what do we actually do with those conversations and those decisions that people around Scotland want to do. And I think Pettigrew now has to start putting its head above the parapet and start making comment on national policy, start making comment on how teachers on the ground are actually starting to feel, a small percentage, admittedly, but they can drive that forward. I was watching a thing on TV this morning about Citizen UK, and it's non-partisan, and it's people asking questions and being allowed to ask questions and giving them, that politicians are actually listening to those questions and trying to shape policy around those. I think Pettigrew is now in a position where it can start doing a very similar job of asking questions in a non-partisan, non-political way, but actually saying, no, this is what teachers on the ground would actually like to see, working with unions to do that, as well as management.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for taking the time, Ian.
Thank you.